to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone. This is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Heather Wallace. Heather is a writer, blogger, and web developer. She's also the author of Pod Publicity, How to Take a Print-on-Demand Book from Obscurity to Profitability, which is the topic of our interview today. Hello, Heather.
Hi there.
Great to have you here. I'm so excited about print-on-demand. So just before we get into that, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. I began writing as a child and even had some of my work published in Archie comic books. That was really my first experience of receiving any payment for my writing. And then fast forward to 1997, I began developing websites, and from there I moved on to blogs. Some of the websites and blogs have really enjoyed great success, with one of them even being featured in Q's Internet Yellow Pages for several years running and being featured on a television program as well. So that was really quite exciting. After that, I have written 4 self-published books, with my greatest accomplishments being 101 Easy PC Cookies Recipes and Pod Publicity.
That's brilliant. So I guess because we're talking about print-on-demand today, some people might not know what that is. So can you just explain what it is and why it's such a good option for self-publishers?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Print-on-demand is really just a better way to self-publish. With the traditional self-publishing, writers had to hire a printer and print up hundreds to thousands of dollars worth of books, which ended up being quite a big gamble because you really never know if you're going to make back that investment. With print-on-demand, on the other hand, writers can just put the book out there, have little to no money up front put into the project. So if it goes well, then great. If it doesn't, then all you've invested is time. Now, some may wonder why opt for print-on-demand over traditional publishing, and I can offer 2 really good reasons why to go the print-on-demand route. Those are control and profit. If you go the print-on-demand route, then you remain in control of everything, whereas if you go with the traditional publisher, they can put your book out of print at any time for any reason, so you're really at their mercy. Also, as far as profit goes, the royalty that you get with a traditional publishing house is really quite pathetic, in my opinion. So if you go with print-on-demand, you get quite a large chunk of the profit after they take out the fees. If you go with CreateSpace that they give to Amazon, or if you go through Lulu, they also have to give fees to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever, but you still end up making quite a lot more.
And obviously you don't have those books in your garage either, do you?
No.
No, so that's brilliant. And as you said there, it's a lower cost of entry because you don't have to pay thousands up front. And I don't think many people realize that.
The amount of money that you'd have to invest if you went with self-publishing, print-on-demand is just a perfect option for absolutely anyone to get into publishing.
So maybe you could just explain the costs there for print-on-demand. How much does it cost?
Well, if you go with CreateSpace, you can go with an entirely free option. Well, not entirely free. I take that back. The only thing you'll have to pay is for an evaluation copy. But they also offer a pro plan. I believe it's $50 at this time, but they do run specials quite often where they waive that fee. But if you go with Lulu, the difference there is that you have to pay for pretty well everything along the way, distribution and whatnot. So in my opinion, CreateSpace is really the better option.
Well, I'll cut in there because I use Lulu and it's exactly the same. You don't have to pay anything. You just pay for one of the copies unless you pick up one of their big packages. So I think all these companies have different packages, don't they?
Right, but that's the thing with CreateSpace. Basically, you get everything in the one free package versus Lulu, where if you want, it's sort of a la carte where you have to pay for little things along the way if you want this add-on or that add-on. As I said, CreateSpace basically just gives you everything.
No, that's great. And CreateSpace is just for US-based authors, though, I think.
Yes, that's the one downside, as well as the fact that they only distribute through Amazon and Target. So, I mean, Amazon really is, you know, the giant online as far as book selling goes, so it's not that big of a detriment to only be through them and Target. But Lulu does have that in their favor, but even evaluating those 2 points, I would still say CreateSpace is the way to go.
Yeah, no, that's great. And what about some of the other companies? Because there are, what about the Amazon Book Surge, for example? Do you have any experience with that?
No, I've never used that one because I don't really want to speak out of turn, but my understanding is that they take over more control of the process than CreateSpace does or Lulu. But as I said, I have never really used them. And they also, I'm pretty sure, are quite expensive. So I never went that route.
Mm. But I guess we could say for people who don't want to do everything themselves, who might not be so technically capable, then one of these other companies might be appropriate.
Yes, that's entirely true. I mean, if you want to, if you don't want to be in complete control, or if there's some area in which you can't handle something, you just don't have the capability, then it is a viable option to go with one of the other companies.
Mm, absolutely, because I guess, you know, your background's in computers and web development. So would you say you're quite a technical person?
Oh, definitely. I've been at this ever since I got my first computer. I immediately started building websites of my own. I mean, you can imagine what they looked like from those awful sites we all created. But even so, I've been just keeping at it and keeping at it, and even to this day, I'm still building websites. So
yeah, but I guess I'll attest to everybody that, you know, although I am a bit technical as well, you don't have to be technical to use these services, do you?
No, not at all. I mean, as long as you can use a word processing program, you'll be fine. I mean, you can create the cover yourself, but I'd only recommend that you do that if you are very good at graphic design. But if you aren't, there are services where you can go and get a cover design quite cheaply. You don't even have to go through the services themselves, so like the Lulu or CreateSpace, any of those, to do that. I mean, they do have a service on CreateSpace where you can design a cover online, but I don't know that I'd necessarily recommend it because I don't know that you'd come out with anything that looked like it could go on a bookshelf. So unless you are very good at it, I wouldn't recommend doing it yourself. I would say get somebody to do it for you. But getting back to your original question about how technical you have to be, if you can use a word processor, great, you can do this. And if you can use a blog, that's great too, because you should have a blog. But that's really simple to set up too. I mean, you could go to Blogger, they walk you through everything. Or if you know how to use WordPress, that's even better. But it just doesn't require that much technical knowledge.
So you talked a bit about cover design there. So how can authors design their book for the online marketplace?
Well, in order to design for the online marketplace, there are really three things that an author is going to need to focus on. And those, as I already mentioned, are the cover. And then you also have to focus on the title and the back cover copy. The reason why these three things are so important is because when you sell online, it's not like a regular store where somebody can pick up the book, leaf through the pages. They might become interested in something they see and buy it, even if the cover isn't the greatest thing in the world or the title just doesn't strike them in some way. But online, those three things are basically all you've got. So you've got to really make an impression. So it's just important to make that cover look like one that would be on a bookshelf, or make that title sound intriguing or just like something they would want to read. The back cover copy has just got to sell that book as best it can, because those are the only opportunities you have to convert that browser into a buyer.
And I guess we should say that all the covers will be that, you know, the small image size on people's screens, won't they? So you can't have really, really tiny writing.
Right. And also, you don't want to have a graphic on there that you can't tell what it is when someone views that tiny little image, because you don't want them to be squinting at the cover going, what is that? You want them to just immediately go, oh, wow, I want this book.
Mm. Absolutely. Okay, well, I guess, you know, there's no point in having a print-on-demand book if nobody buys it. So what are your top three tips for online marketing?
Well, my first tip would be to put together a media kit. That's an absolute must. Because if you're serious about marketing your book online, then this step absolutely cannot be skipped. What the digital media kit does is it basically puts all the information in one place that any reviewer could want. And with that information, your odds are that much greater of actually getting publicity. Next up, I would say that authors should use all of the resources that Amazon has to offer. I don't know why so many authors don't make use of all of the features that they have, because if they did, their book page would really just stand out from the crowd and make an impression on buyers. They should upload pictures and images from their book. They should just engage the readers with Amazon Connect. I mean, they have the facility there to blog with their readers, and so many people just don't take advantage of that. Last up, I would just say get reviews, get as many of them as you can, because that just the more places your book is reviewed, the more places the buyers have to stumble upon it. If they see a review about it in one place, two places, three places, that's great. The more places they see it, the more apt they are to buy, the more bloggers they see recommended or podcasters or whatever, just the better for you.
You just going back a bit there. So you mentioned some of the Amazon, you know, tools for authors, and you mentioned pictures and Amazon Connect. Can you maybe just explain some of the other ones? Because I think some people might not realize about what's available.
Sure. There's also Listmania, where you just, let's say you build a top 10 list of the best books on knitting, let's say, and you put your book, of course, at the top, because if you wrote it, you should think it's the best. But what you want to do there is you don't want to abuse it. You don't want to create, let's say, 10 of those a day, every day for the next year, because then you're just spamming the system. So just keep in mind to use common sense when you're doing something like that. Same thing goes for the Say You'd Like To guides. Just put together a guide, let's say, so you'd like to knit a sweater, and you mention your book in there. But again, don't spam the system. That's the most important thing when doing any of this. Then there are also message boards at Amazon. People could go on there, just post messages about whatever, go in, talk with the people. Just be careful not to be pushy. Don't push your book on them. If it happens to come up in conversation, that's fine, but don't make it a sales pitch.
No, that's great. Okay, so you also mentioned reviews. So how can people find the most effective online sites for reviews, and what is the process for getting them?
Well, to find the most effective sites, authors will really need to conduct a lot of research. As with many things online, they should start with Google. From there, they can just search for any sites that cover the topics that are similar to their book. Once they locate a site, just don't just contact them right out of the blue. You'll need to see if they're even worth your time. And the best way to do that is there's a checklist with Impod Publicity. It details everything you should evaluate. But the most important things you should focus on are how many readers do they have and how much traffic do they get. If they have low readers or low traffic, it's really not worth your time. Just move on to the next site. Once you do find a site that has a lot of traffic or a lot of readers or both, whatever, the most important thing is going to be to come up with a well-crafted email message. And I also offer some sort of templates in the book, something you can base your message on. Just be careful when using those to rewrite them, because if everybody sends out the same message, it's going to lose its effectiveness entirely. That being said, there are some things in there that are vital to include, the first of which is you have to come up with an introduction, of course. Tell them who you are, just a little brief intro. Don't just start going on and on. Next, include a teaser of your book. If you can get them interested, you're that much more likely to get the interview. Then, obviously, offer them a free copy. Now, you may think that you should send out a traditional book through snail mail, but that's about the worst thing you can do. I did that myself with 101 Easy Peasy Cookie Recipes. I would not do that again. Offer them an email copy. you'll save so much money because you will send out copies that people say they'll review and they just won't. So rather than wasting all the time, money, and effort, just send them an ebook.
No, that's a great tip. And I, you know, I have a blog and people send me copies and I much prefer them by ebook, you know, version, because I can just kind of flick through, you know, quite quickly on the screen. And, you know, I do it while I'm thinking about it. So I think that's a really good tip to send an ebook, definitely.
Yes, and as I said, it just saves so much money because by the time you add up all of those books and all of that postage, it really can get quite expensive.
Absolutely. So I guess one question would be, who should they pitch for a review? Should it be like a book review site, a general book review site, or people in their niche, you know, blogs, I guess?
Really, I would say both, but I would first concentrate on blogs within the niche, because with a standard book review site, I don't know about you, but I don't go read those. I don't know how many people really do. But if you can find a blog within the niche, then that is great, because we all have blogs we follow. We value the opinion of that blogger. If they say that so-and-so's book is great, then sure, we'll check it out. It's like basically receiving an endorsement. Whereas the book review sites, you know that they're just there to meet their quota of book reviews, and it just doesn't carry as much weight.
No, that's absolutely right. Okay, so you also recommend that authors try to get podcast interviews. Can you explain, I guess, what they are? And although we're doing one right now, so I guess people will know what they are. They're like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, why is it good for an author like yourself to do an interview like this? Why is that good for you?
Well, it's really great because it just lets you get the word out about your book to hundreds or even thousands of listeners. And it's really, as I said, with the same case with the blogger, because a podcaster will have followers. So the fact that you've decided to interview me carries some weight as far as a recommendation goes. And also, when you do a podcast interview, you get much more time to sort of speak with the interviewer and get the word out about your book than you would with a radio interview or even television, where you get maybe 5-10 minutes at best. Especially if you're a writer, they really just don't give writers that much time on interviews like that. So podcasts are just a really good way to get the word out.
And I guess we should also say that they stay online and people find them at really odd times, don't they?
Yeah,
you know, someone could find this in 6 months' time and listen to it then. Yeah.
That's true. Whereas television interviews or radio interviews, once it's done, it's pretty well done. So, yes, podcasts do have a staying power, as do reviews on blogs. That's why those two are really good options.
Absolutely. Okay, so you also in your book recommend social networking for authors. So at the moment, I mean, there are so many social networks, you know, book ones and author ones and normal ones. So which is your favorite social networking site and why?
Well, without a doubt, as far as social networking sites for authors go, I would have to say Shelfari is my absolute favorite. The interface on that site, it's fun, it's creative, it just makes hanging out on that site a good time. And whenever you can put marketing and fun together, that's a good combination, because marketing is usually such a dry, boring activity. So if you can enjoy yourself, great.
No, that's interesting. I don't really use Shelfari. So the people who go to Shelfari, are they book buyers or are they authors?
Well, a little bit of both, but I would say it leans more towards book buyers. So if you can go on there as an author and mingle among them, then you can really kind of befriend them, and they will be that much more likely to buy your title. But you can just add your book to your little virtual shelf there, and as you're mingling through with them, they will see it on the shelf, and, you know, you can get who knows how many click-throughs just while you're on there just talking and having a good time.
Oh, no, that's interesting. And I guess for social networking, people just need to choose one or two and focus their energy there, don't they?
Right, because if you try to cover all of them, you'd get nothing done but sitting there having these conversations, you know, back and forth about books. So you have to pinpoint your focus on just a few of them.
So you recommend Shelfari. Any others you want to mention?
Library Thing was a pretty good one, too. My only problem with that one is on my first print-on-demand title, I was listed as the second author, so it took quite a bit of time for them to get me an author account on there because there were some technical glitches, and it just took months. So beyond that, it's a very good site. I would just warn anybody, if you are listed as the second, third, or fourth author, expect to wait a while before you get your author account opened, unless they've ironed out those glitches.
And you talk about author account there, and I've come across this as well. These sites use, I guess it's Lightning Source or some kind of, you know, database to verify that you're an author, don't they?
I'm not sure how they do that, because I don't know if CreateSpace goes through Lightning Source or not, but I know that they were able to verify that I was the author, so they did it, but it got done in the end.
Yeah, and I found that too. And I think for people who are listening, you don't know what we're talking about. if you just printed a book at a printer, a normal printer, as a, you know, old school self-publishing, you wouldn't be on one of these databases. It's because we've gone through one of these companies, isn't it?
Well, I you may be in the database if you went through Bowker. I don't know. If you got, you know, your ISBN and everything, they may be able to find you like that, but that's just pure speculation on my part. But I imagine something about books in print, they could probably find you through there.
Yeah. But certainly for, say, Amazon Connect, you have to have a book on Amazon, don't you?
Yes. And also, if you want to open your Amazon Connect account, you have to verify that those are your titles, which that can be a whole nightmare process unto itself. But it can be done. It's just a matter of finding someone to verify that you are the author of the titles.
But I would say, and you probably agree, once you actually get these things done, it all becomes a lot easier, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, definitely. And it's certainly worth it in the end. If you just put in the work up front, then there, you know, it just pays off as you go along.
Absolutely. Okay, so I was interested as well because you actually had Dan Poynter, who's the author of the self-publishing manual. He wrote the foreword to your book. So can you explain how you got his endorsement? Because many people obviously want to get famous people endorsing their books.
Sure. Well, I just went to Dan's site and I just contacted him through his email link at the site, and I told him a little bit about myself. Told him some things about my book, but I just made sure to keep it short because I knew he was busy and I didn't want to take up his time having him slog through a long message. He wrote back to me a few days later, told me he'd love to do it as long as he could review the book first, and he wanted me to send him some sales copy on it too. So I sent that along to him. A few days later, heard back, he said, great, I'll do it. And the rest was history, but it was just important for him to review the book first because he wasn't going to endorse just any old thing. So as long as your book is good, you'll be that much more likely to get that big endorsement. So that's why it's so important at the beginning of things to make sure you write the best book that you can write in order to get those endorsements and to get those reviews.
No, that's brilliant advice. So literally just target someone and ask them, I guess.
Yes, it was just as simple as that.
Did you ask anyone else?
No, I went right for him because I knew with the subject of my book that he was the endorsement that I could get for that book. I figured if I couldn't get him, then I'd investigate getting other people. But the thing that was great about him is that he does have a way to contact him on his site, which other people, it's not going to be so easy to get that endorsement because you're going to have to go through agents and publicists and who knows who else. But with him, I just could email him.
I guess just for everyone listening, a really good tip right now for contacting people is through Twitter, because you know, there are lots of authors and people on Twitter who check their own accounts, so you can kind of bypass that whole process. I'm finding that very useful.
You know what? I've never Twittered yet. I've never really gotten into that, but I hear that it is good for marketing, so perhaps I should check that out.
Oh, definitely. I'm a huge Twitter fan. So, yeah, come and join us. Okay, I wanted to just ask you as well, because print on demand is obviously where you print a physical copy of your book, but you also sell your book as an e-book, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I guess I just want people to understand that they can do multiple channels, really, of selling. So why do you also sell it in ebook format?
Well, at this point, I only sell it in ebook format. I'm planning on coming out with the print version too, but I wanted to come out with it in ebook right away so I could get the information to people as quickly as possible. And the reason why it's so great to have it in multiple formats is because then that multiplies the profit. If you can sell an ebook, you can sell a physical copy, you can just sell all these different formats, that just makes it that much more likely that you will be able to profit from your book.
Mm. But then I guess with your ebook, you will be loading that up to the print on demand site in order to print physical copy at
Not exactly that copy, because there are formatting issues, because the ebook is set to the page dimensions of 8.5 by 11, but obviously that won't work for print on demand. Plus, the margins wouldn't be set correctly for print on demand. So you do have to go in and tweak some things and format it properly, but it's really not that big of a deal. Once again, if you know how to use a word processing program, then it shouldn't be a problem at all.
Mm, no, that's great. Okay, well, we're almost out of time. Do you have any last recommendations, I guess, for first-time authors who are sitting there going, well, where do I start? You know, do you have anything for them?
Well, I'd say just put as much effort as you can in making the best book that you can. Then put all your efforts in getting the word out. Whatever you do, just don't give up. Because the minute you give up, then failure is guaranteed. As long as you keep trying, success is always possible. So just keep going at it, and one day you will have that book of your own in your hand, something that you can be proud of.
That's brilliant. I totally agree with you. Okay, so can you tell us where people can find out more about you and also to buy your book?
Sure, they can visit my website, The Original Copy Shop, and that's at originalcopyshop.com. There's a bio there about me if they'd like to read more about me, or they can read more about the book and just buy the ebook right there off of the site.
That's brilliant. Okay, well, thanks ever so much, Heather. That was really useful.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!